I can't believe what Christmas has come to today. All these atheists and judges trying to take it away. No carols in our public schools, no trees at City Hall. And they wish you season's greetings at the shopping mall.
Well, that's country singer Toby Keith's new single about the war on Christmas. And he concludes in the song that this year America is taking Christmas back and won't take the efforts to take Christ out of Christmas. Our guest this hour says things are improving since the war on Christmas began in earnest some years ago, but more efforts are needed to win the war against Christmas. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Wednesday, December the 3rd. Our guest is Tom Piatak, contributing editor for Chronicles Magazine. His piece on how to win the war against Christmas appears in the December edition. Good morning.
Good morning.
And would you be irritated at me if I wished you a happy holiday?
No, I'm not irritated by that. I mean, it's become widespread. I'm irritated more by the fact that it has become widespread for really no good reason, since the holiday that the overwhelming majority of Americans, surveys done of shoppers indicate up to 96% of Americans celebrate is Christmas. And there really is no reason not to mention that holiday at this time of year, because that's the holiday the vast majority of Americans are celebrating.
And isn't it more inclusive, though, to say happy holidays because there are other holidays celebrated, especially in these winter months?
We don't treat any other holiday that way. I mean, just a week after Christmas, we have New Year's Day, and everyone says Happy New Year's. There's no acknowledgement of the fact that in the Jewish tradition, the new year begins at Rosh Hashanah, that there's the Chinese New Year is a different time, that there's a different Islamic New Year, and that in all of those traditions, the new year the celebration of the new year is actually more important than are the celebrations we hear about at Christmas time. Christmas is singled out because, frankly, some people don't like it. And they've convinced the rest of us that there's something wrong with an exuberant celebration of our holiday, when in fact there is nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. How about, is there anything wrong with, say, a taxpayer-funded institution like Wisconsin Public Radio, one that's supported by people of all religions and even those who are non-religious? Is there really anything wrong with a public school or a public radio station not making a big deal about the religious aspects of this season and saying, you know, by saying Happy Holidays rather than Merry Christmas?
Well, I don't think that the mere mention of the name Christmas is a, you know, establishment of religion. You know, I think that's a stretch, quite a stretch of the intention of the First Amendment, and I think it's just reasonable to mention, again, the holiday that most people are celebrating, because Christmas not only has a religious significance, it has an indisputable cultural significance. I mean, there is no other holiday that has inspired the art, the music, the drama that Christmas has. I mean, there's an unmatched outpouring of beauty in connection with this holiday that people of all faiths can appreciate.
Yeah. But you know,
and one of the reasons I first began writing on this topic was several years ago, heading home for Christmas and trying to find Christmas music on the radio and not being able to find it on an American station. That situation has changed. But what I came across was the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC2, which is taxpayer-funded, which is in a country that prides itself on its tolerance, and they were playing, this was December 23rd, they were playing nothing but Christmas music, beautiful Christmas music, some of which I had never heard before. They were wishing their listeners Merry Christmas. There was no mention of any other holiday. And I don't think anyone suggests that Canada is some sort of theocratic regime that is oppressive to non-Christians. I mean, this is a strange perspective that we've developed.
And you suggest that this war against Christmas is really a larger war, a war against the heritage of the West?
Yeah, I think that's what we've seen. There was just an example of in connection with Thanksgiving last week that got some notoriety, where two kindergartens in the Los Angeles area that for decades had observed Thanksgiving by, in one school, the children would dress up as pilgrims, the other school, the children would dress up as Indians, and they would go back and forth. They would have a large feast. The children enjoyed it. The parents looked forward to it. A few parents complained, and now the tradition is gone. I mean, that's basically what we've seen in other areas as well, where because of a reasonable desire not to offend, people are willing to jettison things that actually, if they think about it, really are not that offensive. And in connection with that, obviously, in the context of the first Thanksgiving, both the Native Americans and the Pilgrims are viewed positively and have been always in the American tradition. And it was something the kindergartners enjoyed, and now it's gone. So you can multiply the examples in other areas, but Christmas is really bearing the brunt of this.
We are talking with a guest who says more needs to be done to win the war against Christmas. Tom Piatek is a contributing editor for Chronicles magazine and wrote a piece on this issue in the December edition. Do you share his concerns, or do you have concerns of your own? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, there's a war on Christmas. It's under attack. But this year, America's taking it back.
So is there really a war on Christmas? Country singer Toby Keith thinks so, and so do many others, including our guest, who wrote a piece on how to win the war against Christmas. Tom Piatek will answer your questions, respond to your views on this issue. Do you fear, like he does, that Christmas is in danger of turning into a generic holiday? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, our lines are full for the moment, so let's go right to them. And our first caller is Diane in Madison. Hi, Diane. You're on the air. Diane, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to say that, first of all, I don't understand the word war during Christmas. I understand that there are people who don't like the word. I think it's a personal choice. I think that Christmas should be said Christmas whenever people would like to say Merry Christmas. I think that taking holiday action out of school is wrong, and we're teaching our children, you know, that there are no such things as Thanksgiving, and we're taking away that right that they have to learn. And I think that that Christmas should remain Christmas if people want to say it. Happy holiday, Christmas, and there should be Christmas music on the radio, and I agree with your guest. So thank you very much, and I'll take my comments off the air.
All right. Thank you very much, Diane. Is Christmas being taken entirely out of schools, Tom?
Well, I think it depends on the school district, but, one of the things that motivated me, again, to start writing happened to my nephew when he was in kindergarten or first grade. And he went to a public school district at the time in suburban Detroit that was, and I give this just for background, overwhelmingly, the student body was overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly Christian, at least nominally Christian. And he came home wondering why we did not celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. And it turns out that in that school district, teachers were actually forbidden from even mentioning the word Christmas. And all they talked about at that time of year was Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. So my nephew understandably wondered why the only holidays he ever heard about outside the home were ones that we did not observe. And that's really not the same as a non-Christian student asking something comparable about Christmas, because, frankly, in our society, the vast majority of people celebrate Christmas, and these other holidays are celebrated by relatively small numbers of people and very tiny numbers of people in that particular school district.
Yeah.
And it was, the word Christmas was banned. There were no Christmas. I mean, I went
that,
to...
That was an overreaction, though, by that one school district, wasn't it?
But I think, I mean, it's... once I started writing about this, people would tell me about things. And I heard, I mean, there was a friend of mine whose son went to a private school here in Cleveland where he was disciplined for referring to a decorated tree in the school as a Christmas tree. He had to call it a holiday tree. And a friend told me about a Christmas concert in, again, a suburban district where the student body overwhelmingly was white and Christian, and they had a holiday concert. And they only sang one Christmas carol. There were songs about the Chinese New Year. There were songs about Kwanzaa. There were songs about Hanukkah. And there was only one Christmas carol. And that's just absurd. I mean...
Yeah. What about, though, you can celebrate Christmas and Christianity, every day, all year round. Go to church, have religious celebrations in your home, send your children to religious schools. Why do public schools and city halls need to wish everybody a Merry Christmas when it's, when it's all over the place?
Well, number one, I believe in local control of schools, and there are districts where the population is such that it makes sense to have the sort of concert that my friend attended, because the student body is very mixed. But there are large numbers of school districts in the United States where overwhelmingly the student body comes from homes where the parents celebrate Christmas. And there is nothing wrong with having that carry into the schools. I mean, I remember when I'm 44, but when I grew up in the public school I went to, we made Christmas ornaments for our trees. As a first grader, we still have mine somewhere. It was certainly not very artistic, but, it has sentimental value. We sang Christmas carols, we ate Christmas cookies, and in junior high, I remember a Christmas concert where we had an excellent choir director, and he introduced me to music that I had never heard before, including Gesù Bambino, which is a beautiful carol. I'd never heard it before. We did a portion of Bach's Christmas Oratorio. There is great art and great music associated with Christmas, and there's a real cultural heritage there. And the danger we have is by setting that aside, all that's left is the part that people don't like. All that's left is the commercialism, which can exist whether we're calling it Christmas or holiday or whatever. And the pretty stuff all gets set aside because it's in the minds of some, it's too closely connected with the reason for the celebration. And that's an unfortunate, and it impoverishes all of us. I mean, there are lots of non-Christians, as a matter of fact, who enjoy aspects of the celebration of Christmas very much. A friend of mine at work, her first marriage, she had a Jewish mother-in-law who every year would regularly go to see a performance of Handel's Messiah and would go to midnight mass, not for religious reasons, but because she loved the beauty associated with that time of year. It's something that most people do appreciate. It's only a handful that actually object, and the people objecting are, really should not be allowed to set the course for the whole society.
We'll go back to the phones and take our next caller, Victor, in Oconomowoc. Hi, Victor, you're on the air.
Well, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hey, I'm between Johnson Creek and Lake Mills, and there's no snow yet, so what
Good.
The heck. Yeah, listen. I was just to give you a background on where I'm coming from. I'm a pretty much a show me the money atheist who, by the way, celebrates Christmas and decorates their house. I was just thinking of this T-shirt when I heard your program come on that I saw yesterday that said, "If you keep prayer out of my school, I promise not to think in your church." The real issue here, by the way, I think the war on Christmas is just caca. It really is. This nation has a large number of people who are Christian. Given immigration from Mexico, legal or not, it will remain that way for a long, long time. But the issue that the founding fathers had was one of establishment. If you provide funds or support for religion, any religion, then you you can't assume that everybody believes the same thing in a society. And who is going to be the neutral arbiter between those of one faith and those of another? I want to remind our guest that it was the Baptists who were most adamant in their support of separation of church and state because they feared at the time that they would be disadvantaged because of the larger other Protestant denominations in the colonies and then the 13 states at that time. Now the situation has turned. The Southern Baptist Convention is a very large and, well, loud, yeah, at least, tradition in this country, and some of the more traditional conservative, traditional Protestant denominations that were in full flower at the time of the beginning of our nation are now, you know, suffering declines in membership.
Well, let me get our guest in on this, Victor. The war on Christmas is caca, is how I'll paraphrase his comment.
Right. Well, I don't know whether Victor is saying it shouldn't be happening or it doesn't exist, so I don't know exactly where he's going with that. But I think, you know, I think the focus on, again, there's nothing in the First Amendment that requires banning celebrations, observances of Christmas in the public schools. The leading commentator on the Constitution, pre-Civil War America, was Justice Story, who was a professor at Harvard and also a justice of the Supreme Court. And what he wrote in his commentaries on the Constitution was this: the real object of the amendment was not to countenance, much less to advance, Mohammedanism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity, but to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects, and to prevent any national ecclesiastical establishment which should give to a hierarchy the exclusive patronage of the national government. Obviously, having kids learn, sing Christmas carols as part of a concert does not establish a religion. And, you know, more contemporary decisions, the Eighth Circuit, which is to the west of Wisconsin, recognized carols have a cultural significance that justifies their being sung in the public schools. That's a quote. The Fifth Circuit recognized, quote, a position of neutrality towards religion must allow choir directors to recognize the fact that most choral music is religious. Limiting the number of times a religious piece of music can be sung is tantamount to censorship and does not send students a message of neutrality. I mean, there is a place for the observance of Christmas consistent with the First Amendment.
We're going to check our news, and then we'll continue talking with our guest, who says we have a lot to lose if we celebrate a generic holiday rather than celebrate Christmas. This month, we will continue our conversation and welcome your reactions, your questions, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tom Piatak is contributing editor for Chronicles Magazine. His piece on the war against Christmas appears in the December edition. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Christmas snow is white on the ground. When old Santa gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
We're talking with a guest who says there is a war against Christmas, and it's part of a larger war against the heritage of the West. And we have a lot to lose, including religious music, public performances of religious music like Handel's Messiah. Tom Piatak writes in his piece in the current issue of Chronicles Magazine, "The result of sanitizing Christmas is now within sight. An undistinguished, uninspiring public celebration devoid of religious or cultural significance or indeed of beauty, with nothing left but multicultural pap and tawdry commercialism." Are we sanitizing Christmas in the name of multiculturalism? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday, December the 3rd. It's about 6:37 now. And our next caller for Tom Piatek is JC in Beaver Dam. Hi, JC. You're on the air.
Good morning. My theory about Christmas, and the truth is, and nobody can deny it is, because if it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no Christmas. And Jesus is the reason for Christmas. And there's no reason why all these years you had religious Christmas music, you had secular Christmas music. Nobody had anything years ago, all these years, nobody had problems with that. You had nativity scenes. You had Christmas programs with religious music and everything. Nothing said. But this failure of this new culture is turning everything around, and we need to take a stand and get Christ back in Christmas.
Thank you, JC. So, Tom, when did this change? When I was growing up, when you were growing up, we did have all this, Christmas carols in the schools and all sorts of things. And when did things start changing?
Well, I mean, we've seen it happen in the course of our lifetimes. I don't know when it began, but, I mean, I think an interesting cultural marker is one of the TV specials that is perennially very popular. A Charlie Brown Christmas, which was made in 1965. And if you recall that show, what it features is a religious Christmas play in a public school, no mention of any holiday other than Christmas. Linus reciting from the Gospel of Luke, again, in a public school, and the show ending with the Peanuts singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I think that represented the way things were at that time, although Charles Schulz had a hard time getting that on the air, despite his great popularity. There were the network wanted to tone down the religious references in that, and he resisted. And that's why we have it in its current. That's why we have that special the way it is. It's been perennially popular since then. But if you think about it, what would happen in a contemporary public school in central Wisconsin? If the students intended to put on a play such as the one put on in that special, the reaction would be far, far different. It would not happen. I think it's probably started in the 70s and the 80s, and it's picked up steam since then. But I, again, it's happened in the course of our lifetime.
And you do suggest, JC says it's time to put a stop to this. You suggest there are steps that we can take to win the war against Christmas, including doing things like wishing people a Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. Frequent retailers who wish us Merry Christmas rather than Happy Holidays. Buy cards that only mention Christmas rather than something generic like season's greetings. That's the way to go?
Yeah, I think those are all things that can be done. Or buy the postal service's religious Christmas stamp. I think at a deeper level, and I think I mentioned this in the piece, what we have to do is just make sure that we, in our own churches and homes and communities, pass on the traditions that have been handed down to us and inculcate in our own children a sense of the beauty and wonder that goes along with Christmas. A certain amount of, frankly, we would not be in this situation if some people had not complained. So a certain amount of what might be termed pushing back is probably required. It doesn't have to be done in a rude or offensive way. There's nothing rude or offensive about saying Merry Christmas or telling a merchant, I like the fact that you acknowledge Christmas. After all, it's just a matter of etiquette, I think, for merchants to acknowledge the holiday to which they owe their good fortune. Buying cards that actually say Christmas. It's amazing how actually hard to find a card with a that's not explicitly religious. That segment of the market exists, but it that has a winter scene or w- that says Christmas on it. I mean, they will almost always say holiday or season's greetings or something generic.
But, you know, you say there's nothing offensive. You know, you're not a Jewish kid or a Muslim kid in a public school celebrating Christmas, 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 and nothing but Christmas.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, people of our own, you know, people that we know who don't celebrate Christmas, yeah, that's a situation that a different etiquette is called for. But if you're just acting on the, you know, greeting people on the streets, it's a well-justified assumption that the person you're wishing Merry Christmas to does indeed celebrate Christmas. There's nothing offensive about it. It's a greeting. It used to be the common greeting, and it's over the years it's disappeared. And I, you know, with all the emphasis on multiculturalism that we now have, you know, doesn't it make sense for people from traditions that don't celebrate Christmas to learn about the holiday celebrated by the vast majority of their countrymen? I mean, doesn't that make sense to just as a part of a general education to learn about this holiday that's been the principal holiday of Western civilization for hundreds of years?
Next, we go to Dave in Menominee, Michigan. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Well, you know, I've been jotting down so many things, you know, and the last thing is a general education. I'm a Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic. My kids go to the same Catholic school that I went to. But I don't think there should be any prayer in public school. There's no reason for that. If you want your kids to be exposed to religion, you send them to a private school. This is ridiculous, and it is caca, this fake outrage of this attack. What Christmas is, this was a lurching of our society here, probably about, just over 100 years ago. And this is literally a correction, because if you read, your guest has brought up paraphrasing from Judge's writings after some judgments here. And what he should do is look back. And I mean, if you look at the letters between Hamilton and Jefferson, or Jefferson and Franklin, and read those letters, what they talk about, the Great Wall, that is extremely important for our country to exist, the rope around the church, because if the church will be out of control, we have to control a church, we have to control religion.
Hold on, Dave, we're getting too much here to talk about before we have to take our weather break. Tom, what about his point that this is just a correction? What's happening now is just a correction, because before it was Christmas, 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 and nothing but Christmas, excluding all other religions and holidays.
Well, you know, I don't think it was a correction that came about because of any great popular outcry. It's a correction that's come about because of the promptings of a few, and frankly, the sort of misinterpretation of the Constitution that your caller mentioned. I mean, the phrase "wall of separation" came from a letter written by Thomas Jefferson, who was not one of the drafters of the United States Constitution, and in fact, in the early 19th century, there were established religions in the New England states. There were official state churches. And I read earlier Justice Story's interpretation of the First Amendment. The original idea was that there would not be a national establishment of one particular Christian denomination. It was not the idea to scrub out any reference to religion anywhere. And I wasn't talking about prayer in the public schools. I was talking about celebration of a holiday that's a national holiday that is celebrated by the vast majority of Americans in a natural way that used to exist. And I think that's justified even if you do not believe in the theological significance of Christmas by its cultural significance. If I can quote something that I really think is on target, this was written by a woman named Paula Simons, who is not Christian, and it appeared in a Canadian newspaper, and she was upset over the disappearance of Christmas music in Canadian schools. And what she wrote is, "Traditional Christmas carols are beautiful songs. They combine rich lyric poetry with melodies of timeless power. a child who grows up hearing and singing the likes of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen or Silent Night or the other great world classics gets a profound musical education. The intricate harmonies and modalities of real carols don't just move our hearts, they train our ears to appreciate more sophisticated musical forms and our voices to sing in concert with others. And I think that's exactly right. And, you know, before, after one of the breaks, you played the Hallelujah Chorus from Messiah. And one of the examples I write about was a school for the arts, a specialized school for the arts in the Columbus area, where for years the highlight of the season had been a performance of portions of Handel's Messiah, which came to a stop because of an ACLU lawsuit.
I'm sorry, I need to jump in because we have this weather break that we need to take now. Then we'll pick up the conversation. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7 o'clock, official news that we're in a recession, a plea from state governors for federal stimulus, and another shot at a bailout for the auto industry. We'll welcome in a guest economist to look at all the big economic news of the week coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we are talking about the war against Christmas with a guest who says there is one. And we have a lot to lose when we celebrate a generic holiday at Christmas time, according to Tom Piatek, contributing editor for Chronicles magazine. His piece on how to win the war against Christmas appears in the December edition. You were saying, Tom, that Handel's Messiah, one of the beautiful sounds of the season, is one of the threats in this war against Christmas. You were talking about a school that eliminated a performance of this for multicultural, politically correct reasons.
Right, and the educational bureaucrats who devised the policy told the students that, well, you can just perform Frosty the Snowman or Jingle Bells instead, which is absurd. I mean, this is one of the great masterpieces of Western music, and the notion that it cannot be performed in a public school because it is religious in nature is just absurd.
Let's go back to the phones and take our next caller, Dennis in Sister Bay. Hi, Dennis, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy and Tom. Being a news junkie, I'm going to pay particular attention tonight to the existence of this so-called war. By using that term war, Tom, I think you're creating a specious issue. Let me reference the American College Dictionary. The definition of war is related to the existence of armed conflict, such as wars between states, civil war, warfare by land, sea, and in the air, active hostility, armed fighting, and so on and so forth.
All right, right. We get it, Dennis. So, you know, but he doesn't like, you know what he means. So what do you think about his argument? Dennis? Well, I guess Dennis isn't there. Tom, we're making a bigger deal of this than it really is by using the word war.
Well, I didn't originate that phrase. As far as I know, it started with Peter Brimelow, who runs a website mostly focusing on immigration issues, but also at Christmas time talking about this issue. But it's metaphorical. And one of the definitions Dennis cited was active hostility. And certainly not in the case of violence, but some of this certainly involves active hostility. I mean, there are people who want to sanitize the culture of any references to Christmas that are motivated by dislike for that holiday. I think that's certainly part of what's going on.
Kay in Milwaukee writes in this email, I feel that the issue with Christmas has become the over-commercialism. I have an atheist friend who decorates and celebrates the holiday, readily says Merry Christmas. I don't feel it will change as long as the retailers make their fortune from it. Your reaction to that?
Well, I think that is a separate issue, and I would agree. There's a lot of the commercial aspect that I don't like, but the focus of the people who don't like Christmas isn't so much on the retailers, it's on the broader culture. And commercialism will be all that's left if the war against Christmas succeeds. I mean, they'll call it holiday shopping as they do now, but that's that will be what remains. What will be lost will be celebrations in schools akin to the one commemorated in the Charlie Brown Christmas, performances in schools for the arts of Handel's Messiah, Christmas concerts where children sing Christmas carols and their parents enjoy hearing them perform songs that they've known their entire life. The nativity scene in a public setting, which I quote someone in my article who argues that the beginning of art in the West really began with St. Francis' attempt to commemorate the birth of Jesus when he created the first nativity scene. Those are the sort of things that are under threat. I mean, the retailers are going to be urging us to spend money this time of year, regardless of what happens. But I'm more concerned about the more culturally significant aspects of the holiday, and those are really what are under attack.
Back to the phones. Victoria in Milwaukee. Hello.
Oh, hi. You know, war is one of these American things that I think are kind of foolish. According to your previous speaker, war on cancer, armed, war on drugs. I mean,
Victoria, can we keep it to this topic as to whether religion is being taken out of the Christmas holiday?
I'm a Jewish child, survivor of the Holocaust. I am always aware of what Christianity did to European Jews. The second worst pogroms occurred at Christmas time. The worst were, of course, at Easter. There will never be a Christmas celebration in my house. However, for years since I've lived in Milwaukee, I have attended Archbishop Weakland's splendid homily at midnight mass. He is a musicologist. He has a PhD in musicology from Columbia, and his selection of music is superb. So did my Jewish neighbor, Phil Lerman, who always accompanied his Catholic second wife, Sarah. Phil wore his prayer shawl and his skull cap to indicate clearly that he did not forget his Jewish roots. I thought that was extraordinarily moving. I am sure that those PC fanatics out there will never succeed in destroying the splendid musical heritage that dates back to the Middle Ages, and of course, the commentator who said that art began in Europe with Christmas and showing the Virgin Mary and the infant Jesus is absolutely true, and yeah. It's just foolish.
All right, so Victoria, while she's not going to be celebrating Christmas or a Christian holiday in her home, appreciates the religious music that she hears at this time of year. It's still there.
Well, I think there are a lot of people like Victoria who aren't Christian who do enjoy aspects of the Christmas celebration. And Victoria mentioned the history of Europe, which is not exact. I mean, the history of the United States is different. You know, from the beginning, we have been a much more, compared to Europe, a much more tolerant society. And Christmas in the United States was never marked by pogroms. But, I mean, I think I think Victoria was right. I mean, the use of the war, I mean, it's a commonplace as a metaphor in American society, and she cited some examples. And, you know, she is able to enjoy this cultural heritage. And that's really what's under attack.
I think her point was that she does, you know, she goes to churches and she goes to different performances and hears this. It's still there. It's not going away. It hasn't gone away.
Well, yeah, there are performances of Christmas music, but what is happening is it's treated as something that is divisive, something that is in some sense shameful, and something that has to be restricted and put off into a corner.
Yeah.
That's what has happened. It hasn't disappeared, and I don't think it will disappear, but it is being diminished, and it's not being treated as, in many quarters, as a source of pride, but it's something sort of to be ashamed of. Instead of focusing on a shared tradition and trying to add to that tradition, we pretend the tradition doesn't exist. so as not to offend those who don't share it, many of whom are not offended by its existence.
Yeah. So we only have about a minute to go, Tom. Where do you see it today? Is it better than it used to be from recent years, or it's getting worse? The taking the Christ out of Christmas.
I think it's better because more people are aware. There's been discussion of it, so people who, you know, people are no longer as afraid to mention their own beliefs. So I think that the indicators are good. I mean, there are still annoying occurrences that regularly come to the public's attention. But I think that the pendulum is starting to swing back in the other direction.
Well, I will wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you very much, Joy. I've enjoyed this hour, and yeah. I've enjoyed talking to your callers.
Thank you very much. Tom Piatek is contributing editor for Chronicles Magazine. His piece on the war against Christmas, how to win the war against Christmas, appears in the December edition. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing the hour. Thanks to Bill Martins and Cynthia Schuster for on-air production and direction. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And I'll deck you myself. Well, there's a war on Christmas that's under attack. Hey, this year old St. Nicholas is taking it back. He's firing guns from his reindeer, dropping bombs.